me get into the word of the Lord this morning. Would you stand with me? And I just got a couple of verses in Psalms chapter 8, the first two verses. Psalms chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. David's writing a chapter here in Psalms chapter 8, and he is extolling the Lord. He is praising God for what God has done. David was a praiser, and what I want to preach to you for the next 25-30 minutes today is the power of praise. Amen. The power of praise. You may be seated today. We all know that this church has been established upon praise. We have been a church that has never backed away or shied away from the biblical definitions of what praise is, the biblical illustrations of what praise is. And David is one of the key figures in biblical history about what a praiser should be like. And David learned a key spiritual concept during his life that helped him get strength from God in his trials, and not just get strength from God, but it also helps silence his enemies. It's one thing to draw strength in the midst of a battle. It's another thing to see that your enemies are succumbing to the strength that you have drawn from a higher power. I believe that all of us this morning go through trials. This has been a year of trials. We've lost some things. We've gone through some struggles. We've had some things happen, both as a congregation and as individuals. You've gone through some things, but I can tell you right now the message is very simple this morning. I've not come with something complicated. I've not come with a dialogue this morning that I want to get into with you this morning about all of the theology, about what it takes to live for God. But when it really boils right down to the core and the crux of things, I want to tell you something this morning, that you must praise God in every situation. When you give up and you back down, and when you start to let your feelings and your emotions and your trials and your problems get the best of you, that is not the time to back up and sit down and wonder if God is still involved in your life. That is the time to throw your hands into the air. That's the time to raise your voice to the King of Kings. That's the time to run aisles. That's the time to lift everything that you have to the King of Kings, who has called you according to his excellent greatness. Amen. The devil launches many attacks against God's people. And I've learned one thing. When I was a young boy, I was a fairly small kid, and I took some poundings growing up. There's always at least one bully in every neighborhood, and I grew up in a neighborhood full of boys. And being one of the smaller boys, I became the brunt of some bullying that took place in our neighborhood. There was a pecking order. We've talked about this before with different people. There was kind of a pecking order. I wasn't trying to get out. I knew my place, but there's always somebody that wants to just knock you down a little bit further. There's always somebody that wants to make you feel smaller. And it didn't take me long to understand that if I was going to run with the guys that I was always hoping that there was this one particular guy that was not going to be a part of what was taking place. And because I always had a much better time, I didn't have to worry about having my head held under the water too long. I didn't have to worry about getting shoved down on the ground more than anybody else did. I didn't have to worry about getting slugged in the arm or frogged. We used to call it frogging. Anybody remember what frogging is? Where you got the knuckle like that and they hit you on the side of the leg and wept up a big knot and you had to walk with a limp for the next two or three days. And I was always the brunt of this one particular kid. And I learned after maybe about a year of putting up with that I could do one of two things. Either I could learn how to duck and cover, try to run away, try to get away, or I could learn how to be offensive. I could learn how to stand up for myself. And I'll tell you this much right now, that the odds were against me. because he was a bigger kid than I was. He was larger than I was. But let me tell you something right now. It's not the size of the dog that's in the fight. It's the size of the fight that's in the dog. And there came a day when I got tired of running for cover. There came a day when I got tired of being backed in a corner. There came a day when I come out with both fists blazing and I took that big old bully and I laid him flat on his back, and guess what? He never bothered me again. Maybe I'm stepping on areas that make you uncomfortable this morning, because bullying is a real thing. There's a time and point where you have to teach your children how to stand up for themselves. I'm not talking about going out and looking for a fight, but I'm talking about defending themselves. David, he realized that he was always in his position going to be in a place where he had enemies. There was always going to be somebody trying to take the thing that God had given him away. And you're no different than David was. God has given you some things. God has blessed you with some things. And there are people that do not like the fact that God has blessed you. There are people that do not like the fact that God has given you some things. And so you're going to have some enemies in this life as long as you're serving God. You can either run away and give up everything God has given you, or you can learn to stand upon the word of God and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm telling you this morning, you need to stand up for what you know is right. You need to praise God even when everything is falling down around you, even when it seems like there's no support on your side. You need to worship God and give him praise, because there is power in your praise. Jesus referred to the same concept as he was making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He comes into the city and the people begin to realize who he is, and they begin to wave the palm branches, laying down, and cry out, Hosanna, Hosanna. There comes a realization of who it is that's walking into their midst, and they enthusiastically begin to praise him. Matthew 21 tells us, and when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, that they were sore displeased. Who was displeased? The scribes and the Pharisees were displeased. The religious people were displeased because they saw their grip on people. They saw their traditions being pushed to the side because people were feeling something that they had never felt before. People were getting a hold of something, and because of the realization of who it was that was marching down the street, they began to praise Jesus. They said unto him, Hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Now notice that David said in our scripture text this morning, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. And Jesus says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Jesus didn't misquote what David said, but he interpreted what David and the scripture said, and he explained the truth that David had discovered so many years ago. And that is that there is supernatural strength loosened when you begin to praise God. You may not see it with your natural eyes. It may not be something that you can comprehend in this mortal state that we're in. But when you begin to praise God, there is a supernatural transformation that begins to take place. I believe that angels are loosed and they are dispatched on your behalf. I believe that the things in the spiritual realm, you'll start into motion in a way that if we could ever see it with our natural eyes, you would never have to be coaxed into praising God again. You would come to understand that when I began to worship, when I began to praise, when I began to sing with all my heart, that there's more happening than just a little feeling that I'm getting in the church service. But things are changing in a supernatural realm that we can't even begin to understand. Our acts of praise are bigger than we are. Why is that? I'll tell you. It's because it connects us. It connects us with a God who is bigger than we are. It launches spiritual weapons. David learned that in his life. As long as he was praising God, situations involving his enemies began to turn. Things began to change. 1 Samuel 30 and 6 says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me tell you the background of the story. He had taken all of his men, all the ragtag band that had come, that realized that David was the anointed king. And so they weren't going to wait for him to have the crown upon his head, but they began to gather around him and began to follow him, and they trusted him. And they understood that God's anointing was upon him. And so David led them out into battle, and they took them into a place. And while they were over here fighting this fight, the enemy came in and took their sons and their daughters and their wives and all their belongings. And when they come back from this battle, they've won the victory, but that victory was very short-lived, because when they came back home, they saw that everything that they had, everything that they cherished, everything that they found that was precious, had all been taken away from him. David's children were gone. All of his men's children and their wives were all gone, and all their possessions were gone. They were taken by the enemy while they had been all following God's anointed man. And so, very rapidly, the emotions began to change. Instead of fighting on David's side, now they're talking about, I think we ought to just kill him. I think we just ought to stone him. Maybe we've made a mistake. Maybe he's not supposed to be the leader. And David found himself in a place where he was more alone than he had ever been in his life, until he realized, I've still got God. And the Bible says that as he sat there on that day, and the men that used to stand for him and would give their life for him in battle, that would walk behind him and support him, now we're talking of taking his life. As he sat there that day, he began to encourage himself in the Lord. God, I know that your anointing is on me. I know that you've not left me. There are times when you're going to feel all alone. There are times when you're not going to feel the support of brothers and sisters. There's going to be times when you feel like your family has left you. They don't understand you. They're not supportive of you. There will be times in your life where you're going to be sitting in a dark place all alone. Can I tell you this? When you find yourself in that place, don't you give up. You encourage yourself in the Lord. You praise him anyway. Even in the dark, cold, musty places of life, you begin to praise the Lord. And the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Desperate situations of life, it seemed like our actions become more childlike, more simplistic. I can tell you why that is, because it takes all little decision making out of things. It begins to hone things down to the things that really, really matter in life. You know, when we are hungry, I don't know if your family is like our family, but I can remember three kids, and one liked Chinese, one hated Chinese food, one liked Mexican food, the other one hated Mexican food. There was a few places that we could all agree on, and then I was always like, I could go to the same place and eat like almost every day and eat about the same thing. I've got my habits, I got the things that I like. But my wife, if she eats it on Monday, she don't want it till Monday of next year. I mean, she likes a little big variety of things. And so you got this conglomeration of five different individuals riding around in a van, and we're hungry. We all got that in common. We're all hungry. Well, what do you want to eat? Well, I don't know. Why don't we try this? And everybody always says this. It don't matter to me. It don't matter to them until you decide where you want to go. And there's like any place but there. So we began to walk around. We began to go around. Well, what do you want to eat? Well, this kind of sounds good. Oh, I just had that last week, and that doesn't sound good to me. Well, we could try this. Well, I don't know. That's kind of expensive. I really don't want to spend that much money. And that's my side of things. You hear that in my voice. I know you heard that in my voice. And you begin to talk about all these different things. Well, why don't we just go home and eat? What do we got at home? Well, we got this, but we'll have to go by the store and get that. It becomes so complicated that you just want to say, just forget it. But we never do. But you take a child And that child is hungry. There's a little hunger pain. That child just walked by, look up on the table. Oh, there's a cracker. It don't matter that there's a cracker that's a week old. There's a cracker. And they take that cracker. Problem solved. They don't have to put all the different decision-making attributes into it. All they see, I'm hungry, there's food, we're done. It becomes very simplistic. And when we begin to serve God as grown-ups, well, you know how we are. We begin to look at everything. Well, is that something that I need to pray more about? Do I need to fast an extra day for that? Can God really do that? We begin to complicate everything to the point where we talk ourselves out of the very blessing that God is trying to give us. But you give a little child. You give a little child and have them begin to pray for need. And all they do is say, God, heal my mom. Me. Heal my daddy. That's all it is. And I believe that that prayer has so much childlike faith because it's so simplistic. When we get into a place where the decision making need to be tossed out the window, just praise God. When you can't figure out what to do, just praise God. When you can't come up with the answers on your own, just praise God. When you can't come up with any kind of situation that you can think your way out, if you'll just praise God, God will see you through. The Bible's filled with praise, and I don't apologize for that. It's no accident this morning that our first two songs today were talking about praise. Had the word praise in it. It's no accident that when we began to sing those songs this morning that I looked around and I saw different ones kind of moving out of their pew into the aisle, and they began to worship. They began to dance. They began to praise the Lord. It's not by accident that I saw tears this morning, and I saw hands raised, and I saw voices lifted, and I could hear the beautiful sounds of people as they began to sing, as they praised the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. That is because that is the biblical way that God has called us to worship Him. If I apologize for anything, it's that we don't have more churches that are not that way. Amen. There are so many different scriptures. There's so many different commandments in the Bible that talk about praising the Lord that it's a shame that we even have to have this conversation about people that just think, well, I'm just going to sit here and fold my hands real quiet, and I'm just going to pray from the heart. Maybe there's a time for that, a small time for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that is the only praise you ever give God, you are missing out on so much that God wants to do for you. Let me give you just a few of the ways that David found to praise God. Psalms 113:1, praise ye the Lord, praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. In this particular scripture, the word praise is in the Hebrew is halal, which means to make a show, to boast, to be clamorously foolish, to rave. It's no wonder that they call us crazy. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're not so excited, I see people acting really crazy about stuff that don't matter. Can you remember who won the 1963 World Series? Maybe there might be one or two of you that can remember, but I guarantee you this. There were people there that had their faces painted. They were out in weather that was probably unfit, and they had their shirts off and their bodies painted, and they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on booze and all kinds of, they spent $8 on a thing and nachos all just for the fact that they could be there in that place. Amen. Man, they did all kinds of crazy stuff. They were raving stark mad over something that doesn't matter. So pardon me if I get just a little bit crazy when I think that I don't have to go to a devil's hell, but I get to go walk on streets of gold. Pardon me if I serve a God that has healed my body, that has saved my children, that has given me blessing after blessing after blessing. It's all right with me. Call me crazy if you want to. I'm just going to keep on being a stark, raving, mad, lunatic worshiper for the King of Kings, because He had done so much for me that I cannot refuse to praise Him. Psalms 115:18 says, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. In this particular scripture, praise, the definition is berak, to kneel in adoration. Psalms 116 and 2, kara, to call out, to preach, to proclaim, to cry unto. In Psalms 116 and 17, tawada, a choir of worshipers with upraised hands. In Psalms 117 and 1, praise is used as shabak, to address in a loud tone, triumph, glory. In Psalms 118:1, it's used as yada, to worship with extended hands. In Psalms 118:24, it's jalel, to spin around under the influence of violent emotion. Amen. What were you doing a little while ago, Brother Brene, when I saw you do your dance? Amen. You were spinning around just a little bit. Amen. Some might would look at that that don't understand, say, what's gotten a hold of that guy? I'll tell you what, right now, it's the Spirit of Almighty God that is working through somebody and blessing somebody, and they're not ashamed to get out, amen, and worship God in the spirit that God has put upon them. Every last one of these biblical forms of worship demand a response through either mouth or motion. There's no room for quiet, reserved worship. It involves the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. As a matter of fact, I will say this. You cannot fall in love. You cannot have a relationship where love is involved without emotion being involved. Oh, I know. You've been married for 40 years now, 20 years, and you don't have to have her sit right next to you in the seat. My wife and I, we used to do something that my mom and dad did. I it was my suggestion. I thought it was a really cool suggestion. And I just, every time we come to a stop sign, we used to kiss. Mushy, I know. We've been married for almost 30 years now, and we don't do that anymore. They don't make cars. We've not had a car with a bench seat where she could sit next to me. It looked a little funny, her sitting up on that little console. But I remember the emotion. I remember whipping that picture out and showing all my friends, yeah, this is her. I remember those stupid t-shirts that we got that said, I'm hers and I'm his. And it wasn't the one that said, I'm with stupid. You know, we had our love on display for everybody to see. You know, we weren't mushy-gushy anything like that. It wasn't too much, but we didn't have a problem holding hands. I wanted my arm around her because I wanted everybody to know she's taken, gentlemen. She is mine. She is with me, and I love her, and I'm going to show my emotion. But too often times we say, well, I'm just not an emotional person, when the reality is we're only emotional about the things we really care about. Oh, I just don't show my emotion that much. You get in the right situation, you'll show your emotion. You get something that you love, that you treasure, that's about ready to be taken away from you, you'll show some emotion. You find somebody that's trying to take something that is yours and that you really care about it, you'll find a place down deep inside of you for your emotions to erupt, sometimes very rapidly. But when it comes to God, oh, I can't show anything here. This is a place of peace, place of meditation. God has called us to praise. And he said, if you don't, the rocks will cry out, because I will not be a God that is not being praised. There's one kind of person that is exempt from the command to praise. Psalms 115 and 17 says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. It's not just the fact that you have passed from this life that you're not exempt, but you can be spiritually dead and physically alive. And those that don't praise God, I believe God says, is there any life in you? Can you not be touched because of the things that I have given you? Not everybody's a runner. Not everybody's a shouter. I look around the people in this church and I see folks that are more subdued in all in some of their ways. But I also see a lot of emotion. I see the tears that run down people's faces. I see the hands that are raised. I see the heartfelt praise that is going up. Not everybody has to shout from the top of their lungs, but let me tell you something. It's all right to do those things as well. And I believe that there ought to be some when God touches you that you ought to be able to run. We were talking about this the other day. I said, I can't wait for us to get a place that's bigger than this one where we have some room to run. Let me tell you, when some of you start running, these boys in the back row, their eyes get this big around because they know they're coming my way. And you see them get up and move out of the way real quick to make room. I love this corner over here because everybody's running like this. And then they get this corner like, oh. Sister Joanne used to sit right there in that corner. She got smart. Got tired of getting her toes stepped on. Let me tell you something. Just because we don't have the room that we really ought to have doesn't mean that we ought to stop running. We still need to praise. If the Spirit hits you, baby, get up and run. If the Spirit hits you, get up and shout. If the Spirit hits you, let the tears flow. But don't ever give up your praise because there's power in your praise. Just the dead that praise not the Lord. Second Chronicles 20:18-22, Jehoshaphat bows his head and his face to the ground. They're getting ready to go into battle. They've got some enemies. Ammon is there against them. Moab is there against them. Serious enemies. Jehoshaphat bows his head and puts his face to the ground. Bible says, all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites, the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. When they began to sing and to praise, the Bible doesn't say when they began to sharpen their swords. The Bible doesn't say when they had a piercing battle cry that struck fear into the heart of their enemy. The Bible doesn't say that when they stood in a row and their enemies saw the multitudes of the Israelites that were there, standing there, that it struck heart. The Bible says when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When David wrote in Psalms 103 that we should bless the Lord, he's not just saying that we bless the Lord because of his benefits. But if you read that, Psalms 103, when you bless the Lord, you're actually walking in the benefits of praise. It says forgiveth. It says healeth, redeemeth. It's an ongoing thing. Crowneth, satisfieth. It's not something that we do because of what he has done. It's something that we do, and as we do it, we walk under that anointing. We walk under the forgiveness of God. We walk under the healing of God. We walk under the provision of God as we praise. But when we stop praising, something dies. David David understood how to make his enemy look small. He didn't do it by trying to whittle them down to size. He made his enemy look small by making his God look big. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I started several minutes ago by talking about decisions that we all make, and we have decision today, choices. Because what comes out of your mouth can determine the direction that you lead your life, the path that you lead your life down. One of the greatest messages I'd ever heard, Sister Nona Freeman preached, and I did my best to take some of what she said and preach a message here a couple of years ago called the Threefold Cord of Blessing. The Bible talks about life and death are in the tongue. And I got to be honest with you, if all you ever speak is negative, if all you ever talk about is the things that are going wrong in your life, you are giving praise to those things. I'm not saying there's never a time that you can't discuss a problem, that you can't, but if that is all your conversation ever is, I know some folks that I work with, some folks that I'm around sometimes, that is all you ever hear from them. You never hear a good word. It's been a great day. Oh, look at how God blessed me. All you ever hear is all the negative that is going on in their life. And I think to myself, dear God, what they are doing is elevating the negative parts in their life, and they're never going to allow God to begin to bless them until first their mind can begin to tell their mouth the good things of God that has gone on, and that blessing can begin to come out of their mouth, because you can change things in your life and the way that you feel by speaking words of goodness, blessings. You either give authority to the devil or you give the authority to God. Would our music come this morning? You can talk about uncertainties or you can praise God's unspeakable gift. You can talk about all the problems or you can praise the one true perfect man who came and gave his life for us. Why am I ending this year on a note like this? Because I want you to be blessed next year. I want you to roll out of this year and into the next year with this fresh on your mind, that the words that I speak, when we speak to our children, they need to be positive words. And you can even correct them with positive words. We need to bless each other. We need to bless our community. We need to bless our families. And the way that we bless them is by using positive words. I'm sure this next year will be a year pretty much like every other year that we've had worshiped the Lord together. There's going to be great times of victory and there's going to be sadness amongst us. There's going to be times when you stand up and you say, you're never going to believe what God did for me this week. There's going to be other times when you raise your hand and say, I really need prayer today. No matter if you're in the midst of a victory or you're in the midst of a seeming defeat where your enemies are all around you, when you get there, I want you to remember what this preacher preached this morning. It's not going to quiet my praise. I'm going to worship and praise the Lord when I'm feeling good, and I'm going to worship and praise the Lord when I'm feeling bad. The secret to victory is continually being in an attitude of praise. You look at the book of Luke. It's a prelude to Acts. Acts is where the power comes in. Acts is where the church explodes. Acts is where the Holy Ghost is given, the promises fulfilled. But right before that, you look at the book of Luke. In the last verse in Luke chapter 24, verse 53, the Bible says, "And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." It was unending. It didn't stop. It didn't stop when church is over. You go home tonight, and when church is all over and everything is gone, everybody's gone, you don't have the music playing, you're just there by yourself, I want you to begin to, instead of whistling the songs that you hear on KZK or whatever, Fresh 102.5, instead of whistling some Nat King Cole Christmas music, you're tired of that anyway, why don't you whistle something that praises God? Why don't you begin to sing something that's not so pop culture oriented in your house, and begin to sing something that gives a little praise to God? Why don't we begin to read things that praise God? Why don't we begin to look at things that praise God? You want to win this victory? You want to walk out this battle, amen, a winner? You want to do everything that you can to make God number one in your life? You need to praise Him when you're good and when you're bad, when you're up and when you're down. You need to continue have a praise upon your heart and upon your lips for the Lord. Would you stand this morning? They were praising God, and the ultimate expression of praise finally came in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when they began to allow God to take control of their mouth. The mouth is a center of our spiritual warfare. We win and lose battles based upon what we say, what comes out of our mouth. Who gains the praise? Somebody could be filled with the Holy Ghost this morning before this service is over with. It was such a beautiful sight. See, I just call her Grandma Jones. To watch her walk up here and begin to worship the Lord. And the next thing you know, she's speaking in another language. The Holy Ghost came into her. It was so beautiful to watch her just release herself to the Lord. Amen. That is the most vital expression, because you have relinquished complete control of the most unruly part of your body. God, take control. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2, verse 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The Lord is still calling this morning. If you want to live a good life, a blessed life, walk with Him. Repent of your sins. Tell God you're sorry. We've all made mistakes. Come on, you're in great company here this morning. Tell God you're sorry. Get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Let Him wipe you clean and give you a brand new start through baptism. And then seek the Lord with all your heart, and God will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it is a promise, and He has never retracted a promise. That promise is unto you and to your children, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He is still calling today. Are we listening to Him? Is there anybody that still believes that the Holy Ghost is real and wants to move in you and can transform a life from something that is sinful to something that is beautiful and righteous and holy? This altar up this morning. It's time for decision.